Good morning. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you that has come to this morning's worship service. And if we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and it's certainly a joy to be here this morning. And I want to greet you with the words that we find in the book of Colossians chapter 1, where it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." Amen. You know, when I grabbed a bulletin this morning, I looked at the poem in front, and it talks about, in a world so filled with hatred, perversion, and crime, I sit here waiting on the Lord, for it is almost time. The signs are so apparent, how can anyone deny? Yet so many continue to live in sin, the Lord they do defy. And I'll stop there. And there's another verse there, and I hope you all have a bulletin that you can read the rest of it. But I find it interesting that was posted on your bulletin, because the topic of this morning that I have been, or that has been put on my heart, is living in times of persecution. And we know that we are living in those times, and we also know that we need to be prepared for enduring in those times. So hopefully we will be encouraged this morning, and we will trust the Lord that he will lead and guide us this morning. So with that, let's unite for an opening prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again this morning, firstly, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity again to gather in your house of prayer. Father, we ask that you would be in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that you would also rebuke Satan and his forces, that they would have no part here, but that you and you alone would be honored and glorified, and we would be free to willingly and worship and serve this morning, and in word and song. And so, Father, we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, and that it would penetrate our hearts, and that we could live a life that would be well-pleasing in your sight. And Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we would ask that you would bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. At this time, we'll have a couple of songs, please.
From the Red Book, number 51, Blessed Assurance. Number 51.
My Savior, am happy and blessed. and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's turn to 103, and we'll be singing two verses and then the chorus.
What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, thus I sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, firstly, I want to thank you for that hearty singing, that playing. When we sing like that, honoring God, it is just it's just such a blessing. I had the privilege of serving at a youth retreat last weekend, and we had about 94 youth there, and You know, when they sang, it was so powerful. And this morning, I would say, well done to you, because it was so powerful. So thank you for that. So as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at living in times of persecution. So let's turn, if you have your Bibles with this morning, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. We want to start at verse 8. And here Jesus is talking to one of our churches, to one of the churches, and he's addressing the church, and this is what he says. So Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And so this is the church of Smyrna. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So when we talk about persecution or tribulation, and this is specific to us as believers, so we are told that there is going to be persecution coming, and we need to be prepared. And I think maybe in our part of the world, we're not very well prepared. We know that our brothers and sisters around the world in some countries, they are being extremely persecuted. I don't know the exact years, but it was not that long ago. The 1 year, they figured about 1 million Christians were put to death. The following year was about 900,000, and this was just recently. In the last, I don't fully recall, I'm going to say between 5 and 10 years. So we know that there's persecution that is happening to the Christian body. So how do we live this? How do we get through all of this, and what is going to be our role? Well, I don't know that we know for sure, but if we look at some of the teachings that we have in the New Testament, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. We can be prepared. So let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And so we want to start at verse 4 and go to verse 13. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." I want to stop there for a moment. So how do we prepare that we don't get deceived? We got to know the truth. If we're going to know the truth, which is the Holy Bible, we can avoid being deceived. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So we know some people will fall into deception. They're going to get caught up in it. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So we know, we can look back at history and we can see that there's always, pretty much always been wars and rumors of wars. So we might have a question there. But what we know also towards the end, that these things are going to ramp up. They're going to be happening quicker and quicker and quicker. And we're living in these times where things are just going much quicker than they used to. Verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So let's break these down a little bit, these passages a little bit. And I want to start at verse 9. So what is verse 9? Remember, these are Jesus' words. He's teaching us here. And what is he telling us? He says, they will deliver you up. So they are the people that are not following Christ. So those are Satan's followers. Okay? So they're going to deliver us up. And what are they going to do? Right here it says, and they shall kill you. Maybe not all of us, but some of us will die. And the question I have to ask, not just of myself, but of you as well, is, are we ready to die for Christ? Because we're being told these things are coming. So let's be prepared. And again, how do we prepare ourselves? Well, we're going to look into that, and we're going to look at some scripture in a minute here that addresses that, or later on in the message anyway. So we know that these things are coming. Let's look at verse 11. There's going to be many false prophets. There's going to be much deception. Then we want to look at verse 12. And because iniquity or sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So people are going to turn against people. That is very prominent here. And then the promise we are given. And this is what we need to hold on to. We need to really hold on to this. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we need to make sure that we are ready for the fight. We are at war. We have this battle against powers and principalities of this world. So we are at war with that. And we need to put on the whole armor of God, as you can read in the book of Ephesians. So we have to be prepared. And we have to be prepared to go into this battle, because it's going to be a difficult time. Now, I don't know if this is... It says this is the beginning of sorrow, so is this into the tribulation already, or is this pre-tribulation stuff? Well, either way, we're going to be persecuted. And I'll maybe ask the question, how many of us today have been persecuted to some degree for the belief we have? And I'm not going to ask you to, wave your hands or show your hands or anything, but I would say probably all of us have been to some degree. In fact, why did our forefathers come over to this land? Because of the persecution they were suffering. So it's in our, call it our gene pool, it's in our genetics that we understand what this suffering all means. And fortunately for us, living in the past whatever years we have been over here in Canada, we've been very blessed and privileged that we haven't gone through intense persecution to this point. So let's turn back into Matthew a little bit, into Matthew chapter 5. So we want to start at verse 10. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we have to be careful when we decipher this verse, because it tells us something very key here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So we have to stand firm on the word of God. So how do we do that? You have to make a decision in your life if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. You have to make a decision if he's going to be your Lord and Savior. You know, this has been said that so many people want Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they really don't want him as their Lord. And what does that mean when he is the Lord of your life? Well, you're going to be obedient to him, and you're going to follow his teaching. And that's another thing we need to, I think, maybe need to learn to do a little bit better. It goes on to say in verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Again, why are we going to be put under this persecution? It's because of we were standing for Christ's sake. And we're going to be put under this persecution. So there's different types of persecution here. So one of them is they shall say all manner of evil against you. So they're going to say very bad things about you, and falsely. So in other words, they're going to lie about you. Not only are they going to say bad things about Christians, but they're going to lie about it. Now let's go back to when Jesus was put on trial. What happened? They said all sorts of bad things about Christ, and they lied about it. So we've seen this happen in history before. It's coming back again. Okay? It's going to affect us. It's going to affect us. So we need to be prepared for that. Then verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." How many of us would like to be imprisoned for our belief? Just, you know, a quick show of hands. I didn't think so. Our Bible study group was talking about this the other night, and I thought the point was brought up. Well, if they're gonna speak lies about Christians, and they're gonna do something with us, maybe they won't kill us all, but maybe they'll throw us in prison. And we were just talking about it. Well, then prison actually wouldn't be all that bad of a place, now would it? If it's filled with Christians, and we at least we can have fellowship. So it's all going to be in the way we approach it and how we look at things. And we'll learn about that a little bit more in the second half of the service. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. So Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 31. Are we going to go through hard times? Yes. How many of us have been through hard times? We've all had some challenges in our life. But like I said earlier, I believe there's going to a time coming where I think what I can say is the Bible teaches us that there will be more difficulties. And I certainly agree with it. So I really believe that we are going to be persecuted much more at some point. But in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything in the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." We're going to be brought in front of the judges of the world, and they are going to persecute us. We are going to be challenged. We have to remember that. But we are given a victory through God and through Jesus Christ. We look a little further in verse 35. It says there, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So even though we're going to go through all these things with the tribulation, the distress, and all that, the persecution, the famine, and all those things, you know what? We can't be separated from the love of God. And the apostles demonstrated that, people have demonstrated it. A number of years ago, there was a gentleman from the United States. He went into another country, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. I should have written it down. I have forgotten his name. But he was cast into prison. He went to that country to preach. So he goes and he preaches. And then he got cast into prison for 2 years. And he went up to the doctor at that prison one day, and he says, "I just can't take it anymore. I'm at the end." And whatever he was left in that prison, God still provided him strength. Then finally he goes before the courts. And now this was actually on international news. It was on the news throughout the world. So the world, like they would say, is the world was watching this case. So this man, he gets brought up before the judge, and he is going to be charged. And they asked him, "What have you, what do you want to say before we decide what's going to happen to you?" He said, "For 23 years I have preached Jesus Christ. For 2 years I was put in prison, and I stand by Jesus Christ. I will always preach Jesus Christ. I will never, ever stop preaching Jesus Christ until I die." And there was a few other comments he made, but it all went back to Jesus Christ. He said that in every sentence that he spoke to this judge. I don't know how long they deliberated and who all had a hand in it, but I know God did, because that man was then released and he was brought back to the United States. So sometimes when we are in a situation where we feel that we are at the end, God rises up and shines brilliantly and magnificently. Maybe there's something going on in your life today that you feel that's so hard to handle. "I just can't take it anymore." Then get on your knees and pray. Don't make it the last thing on your to-do list. How many of you have ever heard the saying something like this? "Well, at least we can pray." And to me, that always feels like, well, that's our last kind of try. I want to encourage you, let that be the first step. Is let's get our prayer lives in order. And then when these persecutions come, make sure we understand the Bible as best as we can. I know we can't understand it all. Another thing we can do is memorize some key passages that really help you. Okay? Then you have the Bible with you at all times. This man that was thrown in prison, they took away his Bible. He had nothing. Like he had nothing, no literature. And so what did he do? He had to remember. And so it was huge. And if we're going to be cast into prison, maybe they'll take our Bibles away. But if we can memorize, they can't take that away. Right? So there's things we can do, even though we see things unfolding. Like how many of us would agree there are things that are just getting out of control, as we kind of read in the bulletin. It's just getting worse and worse. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. And at least it shouldn't be, because Scripture teaches us that's what's going to happen. But we can prepare. So we are living in these times. You and I have been called to be in this time for a purpose. Let's fulfill God's purpose. So before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, I want to give you all of you an opportunity for some time in prayer. I would encourage you to pray for each other as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are ready to fight the good fight and that we will have victory. We know we're going to win this battle. We know we're going to win the war. So let's go on bended knee for all of you that are able. and pray. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Stick our blue book during to number 188, Glory to His Name. 188, let's all stand.
Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart.
Once again, I want to thank you for that singing and that playing. Having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. So So James chapter 1, I'm going to read the verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Another word, phrase that for diverse temptations might be various trials. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, what I want to point out here is, as we mature and as we grow and we're challenged in our life, we have all sorts of things that come into our lives. We know that we're going to be tempted, and when we understand what we read earlier, how about there will be false teachers coming in, and we may be tempted to follow a false teaching. We have to be very careful. And that's part of Satan's plan, is how he disrupts things, is separation and division and all these things that he works at doing. So if we take a look at this, and we have a little bit different attitude about what some of these trials will do for us instead of what they don't do to us. So what they do for us is this. It says it tries our faith and works patience in us. Now, how many of you have ever prayed for patience? Have you ever done that? And then God said something in your life and you went, that is not what I was planning. So sometimes I've heard it said in this way. You prayed for patience as a couple, and God blessed you with a child, a good child. And then you kept praying for patience, and you had another child, a little more rambunctious child. And suddenly you had to learn a whole new different way of parenting. That's whatever. It's just a little way sometimes how God might work. There's more than one, but there's times when you pray and you ask God maybe to change somebody's life, that they will remember who God is. I know we do that for our family. And I know growing up, my parents did that for all of us as children. And sometimes it becomes a hard, hard situation. It did in our family in 1989 when my brother was electrocuted. He survived. But from that event, you know, we spend so much time in prayer. It changed the scope of some of us in our family. That was not our plan. It's not what we had thought would be a good way to maybe improve our prayer life. But prayer is so important. It is an essential in a Christian's life. And like I said before, sometimes I think it's the last thing we do, and we need it to be the first thing that it does, or that we do. So I want to go back now into the book of 2 Corinthians here a little bit. And I just want to turn to chapter 12. You know, when we're going through all these things, you look at Paul's life. You look at Paul's life. There are so many examples of how God worked in him. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we want to go to verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So there's been much debate on what this thorn in the flesh was. And I don't even want to get into it because I really don't know. But how Paul responded to that, and that is a lesson for all of us. Jesus told him, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul, when we look at verse 10, he says, Therefore I take pleasure. And he lists all these things. So infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, and distresses. But for what? For Christ's sake. We got to go back to that again, where we talked about that earlier. What are we doing this for? It's for Christ's sake. And when we can look at these things, and when we're being persecuted, and it's for Jesus Christ, maybe that's a time we put a smile on. You know, I know it's hard. It's really hard. And maybe in that moment, we don't see what God is doing. But maybe at some point, shortly thereafter, we begin to see. So when you're going through persecutions of whatever they are or anything else, again, let's make sure we're going back to the first step. We need to take that first step, our prayers. You know, we need to understand what a motivated person or people can do when they are in very difficult scenarios. And then we sometimes see a result that we did not expect. So turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. So in Acts chapter 16, we want to begin at verse 25. This is probably a very familiar story to most of us, or maybe to all of us, but it's about Paul and Silas. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So here they are placed in prison. Why were they put in prison? Because they were preaching the Word of God. So this is directly talking to us today. This directly affects us. If we're going to stand up for Christ, yeah, we might land up where Paul and Silas did. So what did they do? They sang praises. They prayed and they sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. So they were singing loud enough so the prisoners could hear them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So, okay. How many of you have ever been to a prison? Have you ever gone to prison? Like, well, either, it doesn't matter. Either way, if you've ever been convicted of a crime or whatever, or if you've gone to visit somebody in prison. Our school, when I was a wee little guy, we went to a prison. We got to go tour a prison. So what happened? We walked into our school, when we walked into one of the cells, and the jailer, the person working there, decided to have some fun. So she closed the door. Clank. and it gave you this eerie sensation that now you were locked in. But that was it, okay? You were put into a cell. Here these guys are in prison, and they're chained up. So it says here that their bands were loosed. So they are totally free now. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So they escaped. You need to understand the culture here. So when the jailer was responsible for the prisoners, so if they escaped, good chance you're going to die if you're the jailer, because your job is to keep them in prison. So this is where we're at with this jailer. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." First he encourages him, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I wonder why it was Paul and Silas. Maybe because Paul and Silas had prayed and started singing. It doesn't say that the other guys joined in. But now the prisoner had a connection here, obviously, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, this is probably not a plan any of us would think of, would it? That somebody, by praying and singing in a jail, that somebody would come to Christ there. We wouldn't maybe think of it that way. And we know we have prison ministry now, and a lot of good work is being done there. So we know it can happen, but it's not the normal path that we're used to. And they said, so they're addressing his question now, how should I be saved, or what must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house. So this guy, this jailer, was not the only one that got converted. His whole house was converted. Yet here Paul and Silas were put in prison, and they were suffering persecution, and we can see that good things can come out of persecution. But so many times we don't see it that way. And yet that's very often how God seems to work. I want to encourage you with that. You know, let's make sure that we understand persecution is coming. We need to be better prepared. Remember, we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. So in doing so, we will be able to carry out the fight. And it'll be a good fight. And yes, again, some of us may die. But hopefully, many will be converted to come to know Jesus Christ, as you and I have been. I want to go back to Revelation where I started this message. So in conclusion, so let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. I want to turn to verses 11 and 12. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." We are promised to be given a crown when we get to heaven. Please don't fall into these situations where we're going to start to follow false teachers, false prophets. We have to follow Scripture. Our duty as pastors and deacons and leaders is to preach the truth of God. If we waver from that and we do not preach what the Bible teaches, we become a false prophet. If we willingly do that, we all need to be held accountable for what we believe and what we speak. Reading verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So here we have a promise from Jesus Christ of who we will become. We will become a pillar in God's temple. And what a place for us to be. So even though we go through hard times in life, as I'm sure we all have, and as we go through these difficulties, and like I said, it's just going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible tells us. Because the one passage I read to you, the love of many shall wax cold. That is a truth. So how do we fight it? We fight it with the Word of God. Know your Bible. Read your Bible. Remember to memorize some of it. How many of you are like me and have trouble memorizing? Yeah. So what I did to try to help myself a little bit with that was one year I decided I was going to memorize all the books of the Bible in order. So I would go through it. I all of a sudden, there are 66 books, and all of a sudden I would be counting, and I went, I missed one. And I'd go through it again, and I would miss two, and then I would go back. And I kept doing this, and I just kept going over and over and over until I got it. One of our Bible study groups, we decided to memorize the first Psalm. It's 6 verses. And so our Bible study group, we took this on. And this was probably 10 years ago, So I'm 58 now, so I was 48, so apparently then you can memorize better. But the people that were in our Bible study group were some in the 70s, some, kind of right in the 80 mark, and guess what they did? We pretty much all memorized the first Psalm. It took a lot of more work for some people than others, but you can memorize some. So please do that so you have something with you at all times. So remember, we're going to be persecuted for Jesus Christ's sake, for his name. And when we're dealing with those persecutions, God is going to, he will deliver us. He will be with us. And yes, some of us will die. But if you are a true believing Christian, when we die, where do we go? We're going to heaven. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. So that should be our chief aim. That's where we want to end up. So I trust that as you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will draw closer to him. He will not only be your Savior, but he will also be your Lord. And that people around us will say, what is with that person? What's so different about that person? That's the kind of peculiar people we need to be. The Bible talks about being a peculiar people. Well, we maybe need to do things a little bit out of the ordinary, exactly like Paul and Silas when they're in prison, because they had the opportunity to run out. But what did they do? They stayed. They talked to the jailer, and that jailer and his whole house became believers. I hope this gives you some encouragement to go forward into this world that we live in and be a good steward of God's word and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that you come in contact with. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we conclude this morning, we truly understand, we know that your word teaches us that believers will be persecuted, just as your son was. And so, Father, we pray for guidance, strength, wisdom, and courage. And, Father, that you would be the Lord of our life, you would be our salvation, you'd be our Savior. And that we would look to you and that you would carry us and strengthen us in all the days of our lives. So, Father, we also ask for those that are going through difficulties, maybe it's spiritual or health-wise, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen them and be with them. We also ask that you'd be with those that are either shut-ins or in the care homes or in the hospitals, that you would place your hand upon them and give them comfort and peace. And Father, as we go forward from here today, we ask a blessing upon each one that has come, that your name might be carried out through this community and through the neighboring communities, that you and you alone would be honored and glorified and exalted. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you all another opportunity for some time in prayer. So for all of you that are willing and able, please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 501, When We All Get to Heaven. 501, for those that are able, let's stand.
when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Good morning. I thank Brother Jeff for today's message and sharing your insight. Thank you, Jeff. Few announcements. There's a potluck fellowship lunch today, right after the service, and everyone is welcome. The Sunday School Easter program will be on March 25th at 7:30. Everyone welcome. The practice will be on March 24th at 7:30 p.m. Also, there's a breakfast fundraiser on Saturday, March 4th. That's this coming Saturday. It's from 7 till 11 a.m. at the Altona Sommerfeld Church. All proceeds will go to an orphanage in India through India Missions. Also, there's a conference spring meeting on March 11th at 10 a.m. That's to be held in Altona. That's where we usually give our missions reports, I believe, correct? Also, there'll be a Sunday School and Youth Leaders Conference on March 18th. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. And as far as the message goes, I have nothing more to share with you this morning, but I want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for coming this morning. May God richly bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Do you have ushers?
You mean to now depart with the peace of the Lord.